your word. We thank you for the Spirit of God being alive in this place to minister. Father, we thank you so much that the revelation of God will come forth today, that everyone has ears to hear and a heart open to receive the word will hear and receive what you have to say, Father. I ask now in faith, Father, believing, we're touching and agreeing, Father, that you'll use me as an oracle tonight, that you will speak through my mouth, you'll think through my mind. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. All revelation comes from you. Minister to us tonight. We welcome you in. Move in any way, shape, form, or fashion that you desire. Minister the word of God to us tonight. We're open to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's right. Well, if you would, let's open our Bibles up to Proverbs 4 again. And we're going to press a little bit further in Proverbs chapter 4. Talking about the wisdom of God. The scriptures here has been really encouraging us. We're just in chapter 4, but it's been encouraging us to grab wisdom. I mean, it's been imploring. It's been begging. As Paul says in the New Testament, it's been beseeching us, please, saints of God, please listen to the word, adjust to the word, hear the instruction of the word. Don't fight it. Don't get upset about it. Don't turn away when it hits you. Hear it, receive it, and do it, and you will receive the blessing. Because I do believe with all my heart that Christians, when we grow up and develop in the things of God where we should be, we would be so excellent. It's just amazing. There'll just be a glory about us. People would just see you and just say, I don't know what it is. It's something. And you know what it is? It'll be the wisdom of God, the anointing of God all over you. Everything you do, the way you do it is so excellent. The way you think is so excellent. The way you speak is so excellent. The way you live, the way you eat, the way you respond to things is so excellent. And all it will be is the anointing. People talk about the anointing of God. The anointing is not something I can rub on your head. You know, the anointing doesn't come in a bottle of anointing oil. The anointing comes from you flowing in the word. It's all over you. When you operate in the word, to see the anointing is to see the word of God in action on somebody's life. There's nobody who's got this great, great anointing has no knowledge of the word. Because some people say, Pastor, how do you get more anointing? I say, get more of the word and do it. There's nobody who has a great knowledge of the word and is doing that word who does not have great anointing. God says, if my people would know me, you got to get to know him by knowing the word and by doing the word. That's how we learn God. If my people would know me, they would be strong and do great exploits. So if I'm lacking some strength and lacking some exploits, I need to get to know him better. And the only way to get to know him is through his word and through prayer. Spending time with him and experiencing that. That's it. It's all connected. And then you go back to what's that? The knowledge of God. And what's applying it? The wisdom. Get knowledge, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding also. Get understanding. Get understanding. Let's go on here. Let's get some more understanding and wisdom and knowledge from the word tonight. Now, we were down in verse 14. We'll read down to it. We're still on 19. Verse 14, he's reading in that chapter, and he's talking about, get wisdom, son, listen to me, hear my commandments, so forth. Then he kind of switches gears. Now, sometimes you guys hear a preacher preach, and they go on a side journey. Now, if you read this carefully, he went on a side journey. He's generally in the area of the subject, but he was imploring people to come and receive instruction. He was imploring his son, please listen to me. This is what wisdom do for you. Wisdom is great. Then he hit a little side journey in 14 and said, and you know what, son? Enter not into the path of the wicked. And then by the time we get down to verse 20, he jumps right back on the old path again. My son, attend to my words, incline, listen. So he took a little side journey. And we wanted to take a look at what we can get out of that side journey. Why did he go over there? What's in that? Because sometimes there's as much in the side story as there is in the main course. Because God's teaching people differently. And those who have ears to hear will hear and everything to say at what the Spirit has for them. Let's see here. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of the evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they sleep not, the wicked people. We established several weeks ago that a wicked person does not mean we're talking about somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ. There's some folks who know Jesus who act wicked. I'm not talking about necessarily as a lifestyle on a regular basis, but they do some things where right now at that point you are being evil. Right now at that point you've been wicked. These are not titles, because when we read through this, and I read through it many years, and I always saw it as it had to be an unsaved person. But you know, at their actions we do that define us as that individual at times. And there are some Christians who, I'm not saying wicked to their heart, because if they're born again, they're good in their heart, but because they are so carnal, they have wicked actions. Because they're so carnal, they have evil behavior. And that's what you're talking about. When you talk about carnality, you talk about behavior. Nobody who has great behavior is carnal. You got to have the wrong behavior. Now, we know you can be saved and still have bad behavior. And we know that you can be unsaved and have bad behavior. Now, God's saying the wicked do this. So you can be saved and be have wicked behavior. Okay, that's how I want to put it like that. The reason I want to do that, because I don't want us to look at this and say they're not talking to me, because he might be talking to us. You see what I mean? Whatever God tells the wicked they need to change, if we're acting wicked like them, we need to change it too. So we could benefit from the word in that area. So let's look here. Now, they said anything wicked, anything looking wicked, if you even got a question about it, a doubt about it, son, avoid it, pass not by it, turn away from it, pass away, don't even start it. You know, sometimes people are like, you know, why would you want to drink hard liquor? I'm talking about young people. A lot of us are older, and we've tried it, we've done it, we've done the things, we've gone through the bouts of it. But I'm talking about individuals like, you got a child coming up, and you know alcohol can lead to some problems. You know it can lead to some wickedness, and then you talk about just on occasion. You might want to just leave it alone. You might not want to even pass by it. Might want to just go far away from it. Might, especially you talk about hard liquor. You know, people used wine in the Bible. It didn't have the same fermentation very often as it has now. Some of it did, some of it didn't. But God said, don't look on that stuff when it's red. And he's talking about intensity of a strong drink. Strong drink is a mocker. He has never said strong drink is good. So you don't need any, what Fred Sanford say, champipple? You don't need no champipple to celebrate the new year. I think he said that's poor man's champagne and ripple. You don't need no champipple to celebrate the new year. You ain't got to have none of that to celebrate the new year. You don't have to have it to celebrate at all. And you definitely don't need Jack Daniels and Cootie Shark or whatever them things are. Don't need none of that. But see, some people play with it. Well, you know, it ain't like I'm getting drunk. The Bible said, don't be drunk. I said, the Bible says, stay away from wickedness, far away from it. Amen. And he told you about strong drink. So it's bad. The question is it wiser if I just leave it alone? Probably so. Probably much wiser. So the issue is, do I want to be wise or do I want to see if how far I can go before I slip over? Just because my body likes to taste or likes to feel. You know what? If you really get to know God and you get rid of all that stress and strain, you don't need to get high to feel good. You don't need that. Although, I mean, the only thing about alcohol to make you feel good is the fact it does numb your mind so you don't have to worry about the problems. You feel free, you feel inhibited. That's what the word was sent for. To free you up so you quit feeling so inhibited and so tight. Oh, I like myself so much better when I got a little buzz going. You ought to get a buzz on the Holy Ghost. We like you a whole lot better too. If you get a little more Holy Ghost in your life, we all like you a little better. You like you a little better too. See, God, all that stuff is counterfeit. Because you same old you when you come back down. But the word of God will change you if you allow it. That's wisdom, following what God is saying. Let's go on here. He's trying to give us wisdom. Just stay away from it. Get far away from it. And he said, because these wicked folks who get caught in all that stuff, they can't even sleep, relax, or rest except they've done some kind of mischief, got into some trouble, did something wrong, can't even get sleep. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause somebody to fall, which we established earlier. That word fall is Hebrew word falter, to faint, which literally means to waver or to totter. And you know, there are some Christians who just like picking with other Christians to get them to totter. That's just their nature. Just their nature. Not trying to grow them up, not trying to help them, not trying to develop them. Just whatever you want to call it. Just messing with folk. That's what we tell little kids. Leave them alone. That's what I tell folks all the time. Leave other folk alone. Take care of you. Oh, no, I need to help them. You need to help you first. When you get you helped, then you can help everybody else. You see what I'm saying? So let's go on here. It says, watch that thing about getting over there, cause people to talk, because see, Satan would drive you to that unsaved person and also a saved person who's yet carnal. Because there's a lot of Christians, you know, who are taking other Christians who may or may not have a revelation, and they're pulling against them. Paul brought it up in the New Testament when he got on one of the book of Romans, when they were fussing and complaining about this man eats meat and you eating meat in front of him. Paul said, if you're the one that's so mature and you have faith to eat meat, and he doesn't have faith to eat meat, but you're so mature, don't eat meat in front of him. He didn't say nothing about because you got revelation he don't have, you help him with the revelation. He said, don't eat meat in front of him. We have a God, but don't you want me to try and change him? Don't you want me to see the liberty and free him up like I am? Just don't eat meat in front of him. He don't have faith to see that right now. And a lot of people miss that principle in the word of God, that not everybody's got the faith to see everything. There's things that God could tell us that will blow our socks off. There's things that God could tell us that we think is false doctrine. Because a lot of times we hadn't learned to really stick to the word. We're still walking by feelings and judging by feelings. If we don't like it, we say it's wrong. We don't even look in the word to see if it's in there. We just say it's wrong. See, now that's the kind of behavior to be careful, because it'll cause you to mess up. And the Bible says when you think you know something, you don't know things as you ought. So be careful. These individuals, or people who visit that, as I say, if you're already saved, and sometimes you go over there because you got a little bit of that still in your nature and you're changing and developing, like we all are. These individuals, verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just, the path of the just, here's a little jump back to what he was saying. The path of the just, speaking of the just, those who are justified before God, those who are righteous, the path of the just is as the shining light, and it shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What is that saying? That's implying that you have a position where you are now in light. And if you're just, your light will be getting brighter. From day to day until that day of his coming, we're getting brighter. The revelation in the body of Christ is getting brighter. There are things in the word that seems as though it's been revealed now. It's like 10 generations ago, they didn't even know it. Ways of ministering to people, ways of touching people, understanding the word of God, because revelation is progressive. And the church as a whole is progressing in revelation. We are increasing in our knowledge of God. There are men and women who God is dropping revelation in. And it's like those things were just blinded to us before generations ago. We didn't even see them. I'm saying we know everything they don't know. No, but there's some areas where things are going. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that God is not static. He's moving. He's doing different things. I mean, I remember I did a study once on denominations, and we were studying the history of a lot of different denominations, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, and different ones. And mostly all of them came out of the leaders speaking in tongues. So most of them all, but now most of them all say that's of the devil. Now, how did that happen? You saw moves of God when God was doing certain things. Let's say, for example, the Baptists have a stronghold on salvation, evangelism. God has always loved salvation, but that was a strong thing that the Baptists held on to. Get them saved, get them saved, get them saved. As a tradition, sometimes we didn't grow them up after we got them saved, so they'd end up back in the world a little later and we get them saved again. That's why you have sometimes these church rolls, and some of the Baptist churches, church roll be 500 people and the church sits 100. How can you have 500 people in your church sit 100 and you have one service a week? It must be people not coming. So what happened was there was a big push on that at one time, especially around the turn of the century. When they came to America, even back then, there was a big push. There's always been a desire for salvation, but people grab a hold of things and they stay there, just like the great healing revival and the Holy Ghost moves. There was a big thing in the last 10, 15 years with Holy Ghost services and some churches you go and all they do is have a Holy Ghost service every week. Some whole denominations are just caught to, there was a time at the turn of the century, great Azusa, great move of God. God did that. God initiated that. And because he did that for several weeks and months on a row, back to back, some people thought that was the way church was supposed to be. And they tried to manufacture that every Sunday in their service. Even now, there's somebody I've heard of in this town, try to have a Holy Ghost service every week. Messing up the church. People leaving, staff leaving, everybody leaving. Like, what's going on? What you leaving? We can't have a Holy Ghost service every week. People sitting around waiting on God to move. Well, I know God wants to do something. If you're the pastor and God didn't specifically told you something, he did tell you be apt to teach, get up and teach the word of God. No, the Spirit's got the service. The Spirit's got it. Let's all wait and see what the Spirit's going to do. You keep waiting. There's a Spirit that's going to do something. I guarantee you that. You sit around there waiting on something. A Spirit is going to do something, but it's not necessarily God. There are people who follow Brother Hagin's ministry, and God led him. He was doing all faith crusades, and for the last 4 or 5 years, he was doing Holy Ghost meetings. And you go to some of the churches, and he is a traveling prophet teacher. He goes around, and he can do these things and go from place to place to bless the body. He's not a pastor, but there are pastors who thought that's where his service was be, and every service is a Holy Ghost service. They'll have anything goes Holy Ghost services, and they'll bless you and bless your socks off, and it's great, but you can't pastor a church. Brother Hagin, I heard him say it himself. He said, pastors doing that, they're wrong. I didn't tell them to do that. He said, you can't pastor a church with a Holy Ghost service every week. You can't wait till you get the Spirit moving till everybody's running, jumping, and hollering to say, oh, there it is. We had church now, because are there not still churches that are stuck in that? We haven't had church till we got everybody sweaty and running. We hadn't got any church till everybody's out of control at the same time. If you just come and preach, they go to sleep on you. See, the wisdom of God, people getting things out of balance, Let's go on here. But the path of the just is a shining light. It will increase. Revelation will increase. It will get greater. But God is not static. He's moving. So what you should always be doing is seeking the heart of God at the time. What is God doing? When you come to a church, the pastor's going to pretty much have a direction of the church. The pastor is the under shepherd. He's not Jesus, but he's the under shepherd. You know, I'll pray and believe God, and I'm a firm believer that God is going to primarily confirm with me the direction of this congregation. Because I think God would be kind of stupid to tell the, find the lowest person on totem pole to tell them what's going on in the church. There may be some God has you do that he may mention to you. There may be some area of delegated authority he'll mention to you. But who has the vision for the church? Everybody in the congregation, right? No, normally people are hooking up with the leader and following the vision. You know why that is? Because that's the only way to have decency and order. The only way to have unity. It's the only way to have unity. Unity comes around somewhere. Jesus and the Holy Spirit just don't run off doing their thing. Jesus, Father, the Holy Spirit said, I don't do nothing except Jesus and the Father. And Jesus said, I don't do nothing except I hear the Father say it. So that's why we call him the first person of the Trinity, because they seem to follow the will of God, the Father. There's unity, but they all God. They can all have their own universe going if they want to. But then it wouldn't be decent and orderly the way it is now, would it? So there's flow. There's order. There's wisdom in that. Let's go on here. It says that that light would get brighter and brighter. God would direct. There's a way that God works that people don't like to work. They like to do it their own way. But there's a way that follows God. Now, if God has a way and other folks got another way, you got to be careful, because your way may be to walk in the path of the wicked. And you have to be careful about dissension. I told people, be very careful, because God has many scriptures and examples in the Bible where he kept the order preserved over somebody being off. The most prime example was the one of David and Saul, because the Bible knew Saul was off. They let us know Saul was off. He had gotten out of the will of God for a king. He had done the wrong things. But still, David had the wisdom of God to say, I'm not breaking down Israel. God would take care of him in time. I'm not tearing up Israel. Walked in wisdom, walked in wisdom. And the kingdom was okay. David eventually came to power. Saul got removed. Because like they say, who God appoints, God will take care of. That's why I tell pastors and other leaders and different folks, you better be careful. You get in that position, you better watch yourself, because you're under God. So that means it's his responsibility to take you out. It's his responsibility to take you up, and it's his responsibility to take you out. And you got to be careful. David said, my responsibility is to flow. And I always tell you guys, even around here, I say, unless something's illegal, immoral, unethical, you probably ought to flow. Because it will bless you and it'll bless the whole. Because then we can move in unity together. Let's go on here. It says, verse 19, the way of the wicked is darkness. They know not what they stumble. Now, when you first look at that, the way of the wicked is darkness, you think, well, you know, the way that they act, that's dark. But really what they're talking about is their path is in darkness. They can't see where they're going. They stipulate that in the next verse. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So they're talking about the condition that they're living in, not the fact that just the bad things they do are dark things. No, they do these things because they're in the dark. They can't see. They don't even know what they're stumbling over. They may stumble over unforgiveness. Well, I don't have to forgive nobody. I got a right to act that way. They might stumble over tithing. I ain't got to tithe. God gonna bless me anyway. They might stumble over righteous living. I ain't got to live right. They might stumble over taking care of their body. I don't want to do nothing about my body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you've been made a steward. And one thing that must be found of a steward, that he's faithful to take care. A steward is someone who takes care of somebody else's property. Now, if your body is the house of the Holy Ghost, that means it ain't even your property, is it? But you're a steward over it because you feed it. So how well you take care of it depends on how faithful a steward you are. And one thing that must be found of a man is that he be found faithful to be a steward. He be found faithful. Is it my money or is it God's money? It's all God's money, because everything I have is his, because I gave my life to him. Now, he tells me where to put 10%, and he tells me that as I decide on my own, I can do what I want to with the thing, and then I need to be wise with the rest of it, because I'm his totally. I abide in him. He abides in me. And if the agreement is that if I do that, I can ask what I will and he'll bless me, because my will aligned up with his. You see what I'm saying? God's got it all worked out. It's all his. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's. And I've given my life to him, so I'm his too. If I've given my life to him. Because we think we have ours and he has his. It's all his. It's just a matter of stewardship. How well do I take care of his body? How well do I take care of his money? Do I throw it away on things for me and mine? Or do I apply it wisely for the purposes. You know how many people can't give to God because they bought themselves so much? Even if God wanted them to give to a missionary, or God wanted them to give to a brother or sister who's hungry, they couldn't do it because they bought so much for themselves. My money, my house, my boat, my plane, my car. Well, it doesn't sound like you, he is. Sound like you, he's got an area. And that's what we have to be careful about, things like that, because all that is coming in the way of the wicked. Because how is that different than the unsaved man? Although we call ourselves saved, how is that any different? How is that path anyway? And then as a Christian, it becomes frustrating. Because I tell you, the most unhappy person on the planet is a carnal-minded Christian. You know there's some sinners that's happy. I know there's some that's happy. I see them on TV. Happy sinners. They look happy. They got some money. They travel. I was watching the Travel Channel this morning. Them folks look happy. And you look at saints of God who are pressing into things of God, growing and developing, and they look happy. But you look at the majority of Christians who won't walk according to the wisdom of God, they look unhappy. Because they're still thinking what they have to do. And Jesus said, if you're looking back, you're not worthy of me. And very often we're standing there, not really pressing in, studying, meditating, getting the wisdom of God, controlling the flesh, doing what we need to do. Instead, we're still looking back to, I remember when, and it's kind of like, and I didn't long to be like them. I just looked at them and said they were happy. Those folks were happy. Didn't say you had to be saved to be happy. You can be a sinner and be very happy. Bible says you can have joy. But that joy they have is only for a season. But didn't say it wasn't joy. Didn't say it was different than our joy. They'll be just as happy as you until the day of reckoning comes. But the key is we're supposed to make a change from that world when we get saved, from that way and that path of wickedness, of stumbling in the dark, not having any idea. Christians don't read the Bible still in the dark. Although they are now the light, they're still in the dark. Because they have not enlightened themselves with the word of God. It says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And the spirit, it's kind of like the word of God is the oil to the candle. And if you run out of oil, your light flickers so dim till it can almost go out, or you can stay full of oil and burn brightly and see. He's always talking about our intensity. You know, who takes a light and hides it under a bushel? Put it up on a hilltop where all can see that it might shine brightly. And we sing the song, this little light of mine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it increase. We increase our light. But sometimes we get saved, we get lit, and we just flicker. And we never really burn brightly. Imploring us to do what we read, imploring us to seek and search, and seek God, not seeking doesn't end because you got saved. I found Jesus. Well, 3 years later, like, I forget where he went. No, but I found him 3 years ago. He's moving. He's not standing still. You can't find him and just be there. You got to find him. Then come walk with me. Walk with him. And that's when they always talk about the word of God is a light unto your feet, a lamp unto your path. It illuminates your steps. Come walk with me. I'll be with you, lo, even unto the ends of the earth. He's not talking about you leaving or going on vacation away from him. Staying with him and growing and developing in him. Just like the disciples, that's the illustration. The ones who followed Jesus were called disciples. The ones who didn't follow him weren't called disciples. Jesus did something they didn't like one day. I was reading the New Testament and Jesus was talking about, except you, drink of my blood and, eat of my flesh, you shall not. And of course, they took it real literal. You know, they were trying their best not to understand. You know, we knew he was God. They knew he was God, but then their mind got wrapped around it. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't leave it on the shelf and keep walking with him. They said, nah. And they said, a great multitude heard that and they followed him no more. They walked with him no more. Because they couldn't understand something he said, they walk with him no more. Couldn't put it on the shelf. Couldn't eat the hay and spit the sticks. They just walk with him no more. Jesus turned to disciples. I love that. He turned to the apostles, the guys who later became apostles. He said, you going to leave too? And they said, where are we to go, Lord? Who else has that revelation? Where else are we to go? Now, Jesus didn't even say they had to understand it, because I don't think the disciples understood it either. Many times they said they understood, not what he said. But some left and some stayed. The ones who stayed, they said many of his disciples left and followed him no more. They were no longer his disciples. Other ones stayed with him because they knew he had the word. And they continued being blessed. And the issue is, do you love the word or are you caught up on the person? Follow after righteousness. Follow after the word. I tell people sometimes even in pastoring, all pastors are imperfect. And I try and paint the picture, let everybody know I'm imperfect. That way if I ever made a mistake, you know, I say, oh, he's imperfect. Gotta go find a perfect one, because I'm telling you, you're not going to find any. They don't make that kind. Not available. You have to find somebody who's got the word, and you got to stay with the word. And I try my best to give you the word. And I tell you, go check it, because I could be wrong. I don't think I'm wrong, but I also know I don't know everything. So if you know something I don't know, follow that. You'll still be blessed. See what I'm saying? And that's how we grow. That's wisdom. But we all want to stay out of the path of wickedness as it is revealed to us, because God's going to hold each of us accountable for the knowledge he has given us. And I know for a fact there's folks that got knowledge I don't have. And I know for another fact I got knowledge some other folk don't have. And because we all in different places, everybody walk in the light of the revelation they have. And all will be well with you. All will be well with you. That way God can deal with people on 1,000 different levels and still be a blessing to everybody. Still be a blessing to everybody. Because we all come through the levels everywhere. We all go through the same kind of challenges. There are temptations that are common to man. And some people may have a little victory over it. Well, if you want to ask them, they'll share it with you. If it works for you, it confirms your spirit, go with it. If you see it in the word, act on it in the word. But you don't have to follow. You don't have to listen to it unless it's in the word. You don't ever have to follow anybody's opinion. You can hear it and say, I disagree with that, and go on. And still keep going. And be fine. Let's go on here. The way of the wicked is a dark path. The way of the wicked is their way is with no light around it, so they can't see well, so they don't even know what they're stumbling on because they're walking in the dark. But it's funny. Even that wicked person, saved or unsaved, every man's way seems right in his own eyes. So since every man's way is valid in his own eyes, is right in his own eyes, how do we determine truth? Only have to look at the light. Because you can't determine truth in the midst of darkness. You got to go to the light. And that's why I tell everybody, according to your revelation of the word of God, you're obligated to follow that. Anybody discussing anything or sharing anything, all you do is steer people. You say, this is why I believe this. If it's right, fine. If it's wrong, it's wrong. But you walk according to the revelation that God has given you. And I'm a strong believer in that, because I have to have everybody walk according to the revelation they have, because God is going to judge them by what they know. Now, if they pretend, if I pretend with myself or you pretend with yourself, God knows. God knows what he's told you. He knows what's in there, and he knows what he confirmed. And I try my best to teach everybody in here, forget about what you feel. Forget about what you think. Only deal with what you believe the word of God is saying after having looked at it and studied it to the best of your knowledge. And then still realize that's suspect. You know? Because you can't stand and say, this is this for everybody on the planet, because you may not be, you don't even have to go that strong. You just say, this is why I believe it, and you minister and see what the Spirit of God say to you. Because you realize the teacher is the Holy Ghost. I may be a pastor teacher, but I realize there's no teaching. I mean, I can sit up here and say the same thing I'm saying, but if the Holy Spirit's not giving revelation, there's no teaching. The Holy Ghost is the teacher to the church. He's the revelator. That's why as a minister myself, as you being ministers to friends and relatives in your family, you have to look to God for direction. Now, his direction ain't going to come outside the word now. If there's some direction that's contrary to the word, you're going in the wrong direction. You see what I'm saying? Because wherever the word of God is known, that is the path. There's no question about it. That is the path. If you got some individual area or somebody's ever ministering to you about, hey, God told me, you know, the sun isn't going to rise tomorrow morning. You tell them, well, that's fine. It mean nothing to me. I'm still getting up at the same time, getting ready to go do my business, because he told you that, not me. Because as far as I know, it's coming up. So I'm going to act like it's regular. Because you know there's folks that tell you ludicrous stuff like that. God told him all kinds of stuff you don't know nothing about. I tell him, well, that's fine. If he told you that, you keep it to yourself. He told it to you for you. He didn't tell it to you for her or him or somebody else. You know, because what? When you say it to me or you say it to him or say it to her or say it to them, they have no word to judge it by. So literally they have no reason. It's not really for them. Not in direction for them. If people have a history of the lines up with the word of God concerning other things and the witnesses with your spirit, you follow it. But if it doesn't witness with your spirit, you just let it go. Just let it go. Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God on the inside, they are the mature sons of God. Difference between Old Testament and New Testament. In Old Testament, the people did not have the Spirit within them. You study the Old Testament. Even the prophet, the priest, and king didn't have the Spirit within them. They had the Spirit upon them at certain occasions, but nobody in the Old Testament had the Spirit of God within them. So God couldn't say as many are led by the Spirit and mature sons of God, because the Spirit couldn't be within them to lead them from within. But the Spirit of God would come upon the prophet, priest, and the king, and they would get up and lead the people. But there's nobody out there who's getting up leading everybody. You know, even Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin's a modern day prophet. He's got the evidence of it. He's got the history of it. And he's got the maturity of it. He didn't pop up day before yesterday saying, I'm called, I'm a prophet. He's got the evidence of it. Prophesied things and the whole bit. Now, if he got up and said something still, I wouldn't follow it unless it witnessed with my spirit. Because as many as are led by the spirit, they're mature sons of God. People don't even understand that. The difference of the prophet's ministry in the Old Testament to the New Testament. There are a lot of people running around today think they're Old Testament prophets. Well, that'd be fine, except they might have missed the testament that they should have been born in. Because the prophet today is different than the prophet back then. Study the scriptures. You don't see anybody walking around like Elijah and all those guys today. You may see somebody who may prophesy something and say something, but it's totally different. Their ministry has changed tremendously. We studied that a couple years ago in ministry gifts. But the ministry of the prophet is the most mature ministry. You know why? Because you say, thus saith the Lord. And if you get up there, thus saith the Lord behind everything, and thus ain't saith the Lord, thou better watch thee out. I like the Old Testament rules. If you say, thus saith the Lord, doesn't come, you'd be stoned to death. There'd be a whole lot less people with prophet on their business card if that was still true today. I heard you were a prophet. No, no, that's just rumor. That's just rumor. I got something I want to share with you, but that was just rumor. And don't tell nobody that. Don't repeat that. All that stuff I said didn't come to pass. Don't repeat that. See what I'm saying? But see, the key is that a wicked person, whether you're a saved person visiting wickedness, or you just a plain old unsaved wicked person, you're in the dark. And the only light is the word of God for anybody. And each of you must realize, as God has revealed light to you, you must be true to that. You must look, study, and search and be true to that. Now, be open. Always be open, because that's why it comes back to humility of, I may be wrong. But I always tell people like this. I say, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. So you got to stand for something. And I tell people, I will fight you tooth and toenail and stand for what I believe until you show me the word. Don't care what you feel. Don't care what you think. Until you show me the word in a way that I can understand. Oh, you're not trying to, or whatever. I said, no, until I understand, because God knows. And God will judge the heart of me, you, and everybody else about whether we're open to hear the word. And if we get our Bibles out and read and study, and we're sincere, God will reveal to us. Because that's how he keeps us out of the darkness. Because if we're walking around without the word, that's what puts you in the dark. A lot of people realize that. The fact that you're walking without the word being your guide is what puts you in the dark. So anybody who thinks they're right and is walking around in the dark are going to have wicked things, wicked responses, because they're acting wickedly. They're acting against the word of God. So what do we need to do? I got to get the word so I can know what the word is. Then I got to walk in it. Otherwise, I'm not in the light. And Jesus tacked it on a little bit more in the New Testament. Walk ye in the light as I am in the light. In other words, you walk in my word, in my statutes, and people are still trying to walk on the side of the word and think they're in light. You can't walk outside the word of me in light. By definition, if you're not walking in words, you're not in light. You're in darkness. And you're falling in this thing of wickedness, and you stumble over stuff, and you can cause other people to stumble who dare follow you. The way of the wicked is as darkness. Not the way they walk, but where they're walking at. The wicked walk in darkness, and they do not know what's causing them to stumble. The wicked are ignorant. They don't know what's causing them to stumble. They're too proud to submit to God. They prefer their own way, but their own way only seems to be right. Proverbs 14:2 and Proverbs 16:25, so it talks about there's a way to man that seems to be right, but the end thereof is destruction. Proverbs 16:25, Proverbs 14:2. The wicked don't know that the secular carnal thinking is what's actually causing them to stumble. They don't even know that. It's the carnality in our thinking that is actually causing us to stumble. And they don't realize we're yielding to the devil. Let's flip over there to 2 Corinthians 2 again. 2 Corinthians 2:11. We touched on that a bit. Let's just look at it a little bit more. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Now stay with me and put all this together, what we just said, along with this. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Now this is a familiar scripture here. We covered this one sometime last summer. It says, least Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, let's stop and look at that. This is one of these phrases where you look at devices, so you just say, that's a negative thing. We don't really typify words. What specifically does that mean? We just quantify as that's a negative, that's a positive. And instead of really stopping to think, what is devices? It says, be not ignorant of his devices, and we read the scripture, be not ignorant of his tricks. Well, that's not necessarily what devices means in 1611 when this was translated. That word devices literally means in the Greek, it means his perceptions. It's the Greek word noema, which means his perceptions, which are his way of thinking. Be not ignorant of Satan's way of thinking and his purpose behind that way of thinking. So what will trip you up, what will cause him to get advantage of you is being ignorant of the way he thinks and the way he sees things. Now, you read later in that verse and they're talking about pulling down those vain thoughts, bringing them into captivity. They're talking about thinking. And they said, be not ignorant of his way of thinking. Be not ignorant of his perceptions. Be not ignorant of his devices. Be not ignorant in his purposes of having people think that way. What about the people who insist on living outside the word and insist they're right because God said it? But nobody can prove that God said it or didn't say it. That's a way of thinking that can't be validated or proved in the word of God. And you got to be careful about that because that's how Satan gets advantage over a whole lot of people. Thinking them thoughts is outside the Bible. Because they said every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God ought to be brought into captivity to the knowledge of God. So once you get the knowledge of the word, you bring every little funny thought that comes in your head back to the knowledge of the word. Does that line up with the word? Does that conflict with the word? Is there scriptural support for that? Is that the way God does it? Is that in line with the Spirit of God? You can't just say, I know, because God said it. And it's easy. It sneaks up on us very carefully, especially when we think we know something, because pride always goes along with that. Because pride always separates people from God, just like Satan, Lucifer. Pride's there. And they said the first one to commit it was Lucifer when he said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. A thought came in his mind that he was bigger than God. Now, you know, he was crazy that day. If you go ask him now, are you bigger than God? No, I don't know what was wrong with me. I don't know what I was thinking. But he let that pride come in. And when that pride comes in, you start thinking you're bigger than God. What got Eve in trouble? What got Adam in trouble? Oh, you know, God's just trying to trick you, Satan said. He just don't want you to be like him and to know things and to see things. What were they thinking? What were they lacking that they needed to know more? They had all the weather they needed. You know, snow is a result of sin because they was naked. There wasn't no snow. That's why I don't ski. It ain't of God. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. Folks go around to Pastor Cook says snow skiing is sin. Said false doctrine. False doctrine. But I doubt that there was snow everywhere if they was running around naked. And I doubt that it was warm snow. Okay. I think it was nice and it was pleasant. It was beautiful. And they didn't have dinner. They didn't eat 3 square meals. Just when you're hungry, you just reach up and get something. Something God made. Something fresh. Something natural. Something whole. They didn't fry it up. They ain't put no salt and pepper in it. I didn't say that. Let's go on. I ain't talking to nobody in here. I'm just minding my business. I'm not meddling. Now, I don't know about God, but I'm minding my business. Okay. But see, the environment they were in, what did they need? I mean, think of this. If you think in your mind you got everything you need, your life is perfect, who you going to listen to telling you need something else? You got all the food you need. You got beautiful weather. You even got a spouse. Eve had a husband and Adam had a wife. The animals ain't trying to attack you. It's sunny every day. You walk and talk with God. And some of the fools squirm into the thing, talk about, you need more. God just don't want you to be like him. Well, if this ain't like him and this is good enough, what I want to be like him for? This is fine. He didn't even focus on what you had, just like so many people focus on what they don't have or what they think they don't have or what they think somebody else got that they don't have. Being moved by lack of contentment. That's why they say godliness with contentment is great gain. Even Adam wished they would have known that. Godliness with contentment would have been all the gain I need. That's great gain. I ain't got to know what supposedly what God. All I know is God said, leave it alone. And all my needs are met. So what I need to mess with it for? Because Satan said so. We got to stop being motivated by Satan. That's the whole idea of carnality, being led by the body. And you look at what they said. They tempted them with those 3 things. Look and see that it's pleasant for the eyes. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. She walked by sight. Yeah, it does look pretty good. Oh, it will make you wise. There it is, the pride of life. Pride always precedes a fall in the garden.
from the state that's already fine the way it is, if you get in pride, it's going to pull you down. And if you get over in pride, it'll pull you out of the word of God. What was God's word? Don't touch it.
That's right.
But pride of life pulled them out of the word of God, and they reached up and touched it. But they thought it was okay to do it. They thought it was fine. Why? No reason. Because it wasn't okay. They just listened to the enemy's devices, his way of thinking. God's trying to keep something from you. You know, you would be better off spending that money getting that dress. I know you're on a budget. You would be better off getting that bigger car because, you know, this time of life, you had a lot of sacrifice and you need that. I'm not saying you can't have a nice thing. When the right time of life comes, you'll get it and it won't strain you.
That's right.
But people are living at the edge of stress and strain and saying, Lord, give me rest. Give me peace. God says, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Yours might be a little heavier. And he has a burden and a yoke for you, but it's easy. But when we take our own yokes and burdens by getting way out ahead of him, by not walking according to wisdom, but walking in the way of wickedness, then we don't know what caused us to trip. We wonder what caused us to stumble. Same thing caused Eve and Adam and Eve to stumble as they got out of the word of God and they walked according to their own way. And there's a way that always seems right to man, but the end thereof is going to be destruction. And it always pays to follow God, and it always costs you not to follow him. And see, what this book of Proverbs is trying to encourage us to do by begging us, imploring of us to follow wisdom, not to walk in the way of wickedness. It says it's dark. You can't even see you're going the wrong way. But yet in your life, you keep having problems. You keep having it. Oh man, look like I had them creditors taken care of when I got a little extra money. I paid them off, got them off my back. But I don't know why it's happening again. I don't have enough money again. What's happening? We're walking in darkness concerning our finances. We're not doing anything. The Bible says what man goes to war and doesn't first count the cost. I mean, literally, if you're going to go to war with the devil, if you're going to live in this life and be blessed, you're going to go to war with the devil because he ain't going to let you be blessed easily. So if you go to war, you better count the cost. If I want to have my finances, have this in order, what's the cost? I got to learn something about money. How does money work? The Lord had us on that a couple of years ago when we were going heavy on financial management and things. He's got us on health now. But see, the Lord's trying to equip us. He's trying to direct us and guide us. I know we don't do it like every church does it. We have thrusts and flows that we go in, and we kind of go there. It's not a little bit of everything every week. I know some of you say, oh, it was so good. We had 3 different sermons 3 weeks straight. Well, that was good. I like it being different every week. That same people go to college and say, I don't want to sit in class for a semester. Well, you wouldn't know what to do when you got out either because you didn't learn it. Some things take a little more time. Some things take a little more time. And some of you know I bore you so much with some scriptures, you learn them by mistake. But they said faith comes by hearing. Ain't no use of rushing. Ain't no use of rushing. As long as you get something every week and you go out and do it, you're going to be all right. And there's nothing really new in scripture. There's revelation that's coming, but it's always been there. They hadn't rewritten the Bible in many, 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 many years. The same Bible. I think the last apostle that wrote in, I believe, was John on the island of Patmos writing Revelation. I think that was the last book, I believe. I'm not sure. Might be one of Paul's. I forget, but ain't nobody written nothing new since then. And this is enough to live on for all of eternity. And we've been spending all this time getting revelation of it, getting knowledge of it, getting wisdom from it. And it's worked for every generation. It's continued to work for us. And that's what he's imploring us to do. Follow the word. Listen to the word. Don't walk in darkness. Don't walk in darkness. We're going to close there and we'll pick back up again next week. Go a little bit further. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you for encouraging us and challenging us as always, Father, to walk in wisdom, to not walk in the way of the wicked, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we're obedient to your word and we follow after wisdom, that it's a safe guide, that it's a direction. Father, we thank you that you help us grow our faith and build our faith, that we can look at the word, read the word, understand the word, and have the courage to do it, Father. Even in the midst of the world and Satan's enemy and the enemy's devices and his thoughts and the things he's saying to us, and that's the wrong way. You can't be blessed by giving. You can't be blessed by loving other people. You can't be blessed by preferring your brother over you. You got to get your own. You got to have your own way. You got to look out for them. They're trying to get you. God, help us to see your way and to know that your way is better, Father. Help us have faith to do that. And Father, as we are obedient to you, we thank you that we prosper in every step and every turn and every way, Father. We thank you that your way is the right way.